Brian Estes celebrates good conversations. He is the co-founder of KitCaster and Wildcast, an org helping and reaching the world's most valuable tech and business audiences through B2B advertising. Host Red's Ad, welcome back to the show, Ryan.
George, so great to be back. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, excited to have you back. Tell us a little about your personal lives, more about your work, and why you're doing what you're doing.
You bet. I live in Denver with my family. I'm married. I've got two kids in high school. I've got a cat named Bird. She's a little bit traumatized right now because my parents' dog is actually staying with us. So there's a little bit of contention in the household. Aside from that, I'm a sportsman and probably just kind of a, if you looked up the a Coloradan in the dictionary, you'd see me in a flannel shirt driving my pickup truck. So that's kind of a, that's a little bit about me. Professionally, I work in podcasting. What I'm here to talk about is a company called Wildcast, which you kind of gave me a great introduction. So Wildcast really is a B2B kind of influencer platform. And I've kind of actually gone back and forth with the language of how to talk about this, because truly, like, there are B2B influencers, as I'm speaking to one today. It's just, depending on who you ask, that might be kind of like a contentious word as well, you know? So basically what we do is we connect brands who have products to audiences who are influenced to buy by podcasters, by YouTubers, by creators. Our platform allows the brand to deliver creative, qualify the shows, and do payouts in one place. One of the challenges for B2B is you'll have a lot of different little niches, which is to say that the creators for these niches are never going to have, like, you know, call them Joe Rogan size numbers. Rather, they're going to have, you know, a great podcast might have 10,000 monthly listeners. It might have 200,000. Well, in aggregate, what we can do is allow access to those audience as one batch. So, you know, for influence managers, people managing those kind of marketing campaigns, it can be a challenge in the past to kind of wrangle a dozen or so creators. And Wildcast essentially brings that to one place.
I love it. What about, how long is Bird going to have to tolerate this horrible treatment?
Through Wednesday.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed. She's kind of sitting in the window, you know, overlooking the backyard. So when I'm in the backyard, she's looking down on me, judging me.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, buddy, what are you doing to Mayhair? Get this freaking dog out of the way.
I know. The dog's not that, you know, it's just curious, but Bird doesn't really like dogs, you know, just can't even tolerate them at all.
So right.
What are we going to do?
What are you going to do? So the word influencer, the term creator, these are not bad words. These are not good words. It just is what it is.
I know. We need a new terminology. And George, I'm counting on you to be at the forefront of this creation process. But the fact is, yeah, it's like, you know, for people in a professional sphere, there's a lot of them, you know, and usually it's kind of a secondary thing where, you know, they're a media person because they're interested in it. It's not necessarily, they're not an actor, an entertainer. So that's our sweet spot, those kind of folks.
And I remember learning about influencer marketing in 2017. We interviewed somebody on my first podcast way back in the day, and I didn't know what that was. And I don't think anybody knew what that was. And now if I had to sort of put my finger on it, it would be that category of a person that you just sort of talked about. It's not a celebrity. It's not a professional athlete. It is somebody who, through our current media available platforms and outlets, has developed some kind of a following that people are paying attention to. And interesting that you look on LinkedIn and they're starting to now allow influencer posts to actually make money and things like that. And that's something that's been going on other platforms. But I think that strikes me as being relatively new. So are more businesses sort of waking up to this? Is that a stupid question?
No, yeah, I think more are, you know, I think there's something like every quarter, there's probably another 2,000 people or 2,000 companies that are coming to podcast advertising and realizing that these are really, it's a really good way to sell. Honestly, one thing that's kind of unique about podcasts in general is that every time somebody listens to a podcast, they had to seek it out and hit play, you know, as opposed to other kind of media channels and distributions where it's just kind of the algorithm is putting stuff under your nose. Podcast is a selection every single time. And so the value of the listener is very high, you know, because people are there to listen to a podcast host very specifically and intently. They have to subscribe. They have to seek it out. They have to listen. So what we do to capitalize on those kind of endorsements is our host read ads, which are considered like, you know, host read as opposed to like digitally inserted. You'll hear a lot more digitally inserted ads in podcasts now because the technology has really come a long way. So it feels a little bit more like radio. You listen to a podcast and then suddenly there's a Geico commercial, you know, which is very, very skippable.
Mm-hmm.
But with host read ads, honestly, and particularly in B2B, you know, tech and business shows, chances are they're listening to that content because they're trying to improve their professional life. So they really are, you know, in a good position to take a recommendation, particularly from a trusted source. So, you know, the sweet spot for this kind of advertising and marketing is just when there's a kind of a no-brainer type product that fits right in with what the audience expects and what the host feels really enthusiastic about endorsing. So that's kind of our quest. You know, from a podcaster perspective, you can really see Wildcast as just kind of a sales arm, kind of delivering them opportunities.
So 2,000 businesses, roughly speaking, on a quarterly basis, coming to the realization or recognition that, wow, okay, there, this massive medium is out there and maybe we should take advantage of it, which is certainly a shift. And the challenge from podcasts' perspective, from your perspective, is how do we get organizations, the head of sales, the head of marketing, to divert dollars away from more traditional sources into this new medium? And what is the pushback? What are the challenges there?
You know, a couple of years ago, when we started on this project, I kind of thought podcast advertising was ubiquitous enough that we wouldn't have to sell it. It sold itself. And to a large part, that's true. But, you know, particularly right now, what I didn't see coming a couple of years ago was all of the AI tools. So, you know, if you're in marketing right now, you're starting to notice that SEO is wavering. You know, you're starting to notice that pay-per-click on Google is suffering. You're starting to notice that you're getting choked out on Meta's products. You're getting choked out on social media products. There's not a lot of lead gen opportunities now, at least new ones. So, you know, where influencer, you know, started maybe 5 years ago, podcast advertising really took shape maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Now people are coming around to be like, hey, this is a little bit off of my spreadsheet, but let's try it. You know, and I think especially in business and tech, because most of those our clients, you know, listen to a handful of podcasts, you know, and they've always got kind of like they've got a little list in their head, you know, hey, what would really fire you up to be on this podcast? Like, oh, well, you know, if you got me on This American Life, that would be amazing, that kind of thing. So, you know, I think because the other marketing channels are either saturated or suffering, it's really opening up a lot of opportunity for podcasting.
Is there a way to, certainly there's a large volume of businesses that are moving towards podcasts. Is there a way to measure how much advertising dollars are being spent?
Yeah, there's a couple of tools, actually. I'll name a couple of them. There's one called Magellan AI that is doing a good job tracking advertising spend and people in the market. And there's another one, Podchaser, that pulls data. There's Winmo that pulls data on advertising spend. So you can definitely see who the major players are. I think there's probably no big surprises. BetterHelp, Athletic Greens, you know, that have gone all in, you know, and scaled to a massive size using podcast ads. So, I mean, I think one challenge for people getting into podcast advertising, especially performance marketers that are able to establish, you know, their CAC to the 17th decimal point, is this is more branding and there's attribution, you know, last touch attribution for sure with podcasting, but it's a different way to think about it because podcasting goes so broad and tracking attribution all the way to sale, you can't really do it. It's kind of like having that nice, you know, magazine on your on your table there. You know, it gets a lot of views. So does podcasting. So there are some challenges in the business specifically, but because the efficacy of host-read podcast ads, you know, is so strong, we're seeing a lot more people in the market.
Interesting, right? Like you think about your People magazine or whatever magazine is on my coffee table. It's not People magazine. Ryan, I'm not going to read that trash, buddy. Come on, give me a break. It's something way more sophisticated. It could be back in the day that I would actually rip out one of those little reply mailers and mail it in, and then they would know, oh, look, George bought this because it was in that magazine. But more so, it was, there was an ad for, you know, some vacation spot or whatever, and I was interested in going, and I ended up going a year later. But then you think about advertising on television, and that's very expensive, and there's no way that you can track that. So yeah, I find it to be interesting, sort of a conflict.
Yeah. Well, on television, especially, there's 350 channels now, you know, I mean, podcast numbers are way higher than, television, in most cases, but there's also prestige in television, you know? Mm-hmm. And so there is a certain value associated with, like, I'm on a TV show, you know, that feels good and actually passes the sniff test. And we're starting to see the same thing in podcasting as well.
Got it. I like it. So are you excited about artificial intelligence? Nervous? Not sure?
I am all in artificial intelligence. To be totally honest, I kind of mourned the death of art a couple of years ago when I saw it coming. No, mm-hmm. Just because I could imagine a time that I could be like, well, I'd like to see a movie and I want a band of Jimi Hendrix and Bob Marley to do the soundtrack. And what I'd like is George Clooney to star in a police chase movie with aliens. I want Hulk in there about halfway point. Go make it for me. And we're almost there, you know.
10 minutes later, you got your popcorn. You're ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, looking to the future, I was like, wow, you know, why would you ever spend time with a new artist? I'm saying if you're like a label or a production house, when you already can have the tried and true forever. I mean, if you can make, you know, Mission Impossible movies with Tom Cruise's avatar until, you know, 2537, why wouldn't you? So there was a process really of like, man, this sucks. And there's some innate dangers as well. But aside from the existential angst of like certain mutual destruction, I think it's really cool. You know, I think I use the tools all the time and find them very helpful in a bunch of different ways. And I think what I'm excited about is to really see the deeper integration into all of our tools we use daily. Right now, everything's kind of a toy and a shiny new toy. Like, what else can this thing do?
Yeah.
But I think we'll start seeing it integrate into tools in a more interesting way.
Yeah, I was thinking the other day, I hadn't heard the word NFT in some time. It's like, okay, that's interesting. Doesn't mean that they went away, but a lot of them did just go away. And perhaps to a degree, there is a lot of enthusiasm around artificial intelligence the way that there was around NFTs, but it seems like there's a lot more practical applications. So we'll just have to wait and see. Do you see us moving more towards live events? And with that in mind, live podcasting and like live chats and stuff like that, just more interaction in the podcast space?
I think so. I think so. Absolutely. I think that we're kind of in a weird time and place, right? Kind of post COVID, everyone got, I think, pretty accustomed to being in our own little areas away. So, you know, the Apple try to wrap our head in TV screens. Meta tries to wrap our head in TV screens. They both kind of flopped, you know? So there's kind of a containment that people are comfortable with, which is basically, I want a big screen TV and I want a laptop at the same time. And I want to look at my phone. There's like this multi-screen thing going on. And it does seem like people are enjoying being more isolated. But at the same time, let's say you just look at like the rise of like the summer festivals, you know? So it's like people want to gather en masse and do like these big, huge events and then kind of retreat to their corners. So I do think that like you're going to see that trend to continue. So podcasting is obviously something very, very solitary. Largely people listen to their car in traffic or they're listening in their headphones. There's not a lot of shared podcasting experiences. So I think there's a big opportunity there. Now, I was actually kind of validating the space a couple of years ago and was reaching out to different venues in Denver and was like, hey, what's your experience with podcast events? And every single one of them were like, they're awesome. They sell out. They're a very polite crowd.
That's funny.
You know, they order a couple of drinks, they get out of there. And all, what do you need? Two mics on a table? So, you know, I would love to see more podcast type events. In fact, what I was kind of looking at back then was a podcast cafe, so to speak, where you could have like kind of take it as like a rock club or a punk rock club as a model where you could have like local podcasts. You can have touring national podcasts, create a podcast environment specifically for it. I think that would be really fun.
Just shelved it. It wasn't the right time. You were thinking about doing this. It sounds like a great idea.
Thanks, man. You want to go 50-50 with me?
Yes.
Ultimately, I still have a lot of enthusiasm for it. I just don't have enthusiasm about cleaning bathrooms and ordering the Bud Light for the, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Actually having a physical location, there's a time and place for that. I think I'm just looking for the right co-founder. If somebody wants is interested in actually managing a bar and a coffee shop, that's the tricky part.
Yeah. I love it. I love the salons that still happen around. But I think that they're popularized with Hemingway and during that kind of era and time, and people are going to murder me because I'm probably saying this all wrong, but just the idea that people would come together and listen to an intellectual or a smart person talk about something and they would get a chance. It's like a book club kind of, and that's sort of what sounds like you're describing to me, and who wouldn't want to do that? So
Or can you imagine like the Benjamin Franklin in France wearing his raccoon skin cap, you know, acting like old country boy with all these Frenchies?
Mm-hmm.
How much fun that would be.
Exactly. That's exactly right. I love it. Nice. Okay. More to come on that. So your opportunity is to find folks on both ends. You need to find podcasters and great podcasts, and then you need to find the brands that want to advertise on said podcast.
Absolutely. You know, the easier said than done, of course, but it's a two-sided marketplace. It's kind of a fun conversation to have with podcasters because it's like, hey, do you want this bag of money? And they're like, sure. I'm like, okay, great. but of course, if you're talking about advertising spend, you're like literally competing against every single YouTube channel there is. So yeah, it's a challenging aspect, particularly when you're talking about the ubiquitous tech brands are like big enterprises. There's another kind of market that I've been very, very interested in that I've been working really hard lately, which is early stage startups that are looking for what we'll call an audience co-founder. Are you familiar with this term?
No.
Okay. So the idea is you have a B2B influencer that has a large audience. Well, if you're like a new AI tool, you know, and you're like, wow, I got the coolest tool. But also there's 20 different tools in the category. And when ChatGPT-5 comes out, who knows if that's just going to roll up my whole business model. It's like, we have this one moment and we need distribution. Like, how are they, same kind of problems emerge. Like, okay, sure, I think podcast advertising would be great, but you know, we can't afford that right now. We don't have the cash. You know, we're an engineering team, so we have the best product in the world. We got no cash, and we got a ticking clock. Well, the influencers we work with, because they're B2B, they're SaaS, they're tech, they're in a position right here that they might be willing to take equity in that company as a form of payment. So basically what you're doing is coming on as an audience co-founder. We're basically like, hey man, look, I've got 250,000 monthly listeners. I'm doing this on YouTube. I'm going to talk up your product. I'm going to wear your hat and your tank top every time I'm on video. Like, let's make this thing pop. So I've been shopping a lot of big deals like this, and we've done some big 360 deals. And I think this one in particular could really benefit, you know, the right influencers and certainly the right companies. So I've been having a lot of conversations around with startup founders. And I think, you know, if I know startup founders listen to this show, and it's been a little harrowing, because, you know, if it's your first or second business, you can be kind of precious about it and being like, hey, how much of this company would you be willing to give up? It's kind of a Shark Tank moment. And they're like, what? How dare you ask me that? But you know, if it is Shark Tank and Mark Cuban is like, hey, I'll do this, but I want 90% of the business, you're like, dude, yes, of course, because now you got Mark Cuban's phone number.
Yeah,
that's worth 99% of the business in most cases. So these kind of deals, I think, are going to become more common, and it's going to create explosive growth potential for early stage startups, because they can differentiate themselves so much more quickly. And we're seeing a lot of overlap again, particularly in AI tools.
That's very cool. An audience co-founder. I love it. Beautiful. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for coming back on the show. Where can people learn more? How can they get engaged?
You bet. I would love to talk to anybody if they're curious. I'm on LinkedIn, and Twitter's probably the best place to find me, or X, Twitter X. If you just search Ryan Estes, you should be able to find me. Otherwise, the company we're talking about is gowildcast.com.
Perfect. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Ryan your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Track them down on LinkedIn and X. I'll link those in the notes of the show. And then go to gowildcast.com. And if you are a brand, if you are an influencer podcaster, if you are a tech startup or an enterprise business, whatever, sounded interesting, get in touch and see if there's an opportunity to put your heads together. Thanks again, Ryan.
George, I work in podcasting, and honestly, I could not have a career without folks like you and this awesome show. So thanks for everything you do. I know this takes a lot of work to produce this awesome show, so I just want to extend my gratitude and just tell you how much I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome.
You bet.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.